And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we are back. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Startup Hustle podcast. So glad to have you with us here today. And we are so very glad to see that this episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Off Kilter Matilda, a personal favorite of mine, not going to lie. So Off Kilter Matilda, they are making it easy for parents and teachers to not only engage their students in STEM, but help kids relearn to love learning, which I think we all know how important that is to get kids engaged at an early date. Be sure to check out all of the free resources they have available to you on their website, offkiltamatilda.com. That is offkiltamatilda.com. Definitely check them out. Huge fave of mine. So today we're about to have a really great conversation because we're going to be talking about some stuff that I love to talk about. And we're going to be talking to Ireland Carter about entrepreneurship and mentorship and all kinds of cool stuff. But Ireland is founder and CEO of Bricklayer, based out of Palo Alto. Ireland, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. It's an honor, in fact. So let's hop right into it. We want to make the most of our time together today. And I'm going to ask you that very general question. You know, tell us about yourself. Tell us about what you do.
Sure. So I'm the founder and CEO of Bricklayer. And, you know, we started about 3 years ago. And we're based in Palo Alto, and our goal is really to bring together the startup, venture, and enterprise innovation community. So I myself have worked in the trenches with startups, with, you know, very early stage investors, you know, angel investors, worked a little bit on Sandhill, you know, for the later stage investments, worked in consulting for Fortune 500s. And really what I was finding was, as many tools out there that exist to bring these communities together, there wasn't sort of a one-stop shop network where I could go and connect for potential funding, potential Fortune 500 clients, mentorship, and I wanted to bring that to life. So that's sort of where our mission came from. And like I said, been doing this a few years, have a great team involved, have incredible investors and a board member or board members. And yeah, I've just really been enjoying the building process.
That's amazing. And I think I'm so excited to talk to you. So I have to ask, you know, as somebody who has also been involved in the entrepreneurial ecosystem for a period of time, and I'm sure our listeners can appreciate this as well. You know, it's several different levels and it's several different places along the entrepreneurial journey. There is an opportunity in connectivity between different stakeholder groups. And you know, the question that we often ask is ecosystem developers is how can we create a strong and thriving community in which entrepreneurs find it easy or, you know, don't have as many barriers to overcome. So the first question that I want to ask you is, what happens when you see entrepreneurs come across these barriers? What happens when you see entrepreneurs not have the kind of, you know, connectivity, opportunity, access that you're talking about providing?
Yeah, and that was sort of our goal in building this was, you know, as a founder myself, and I'd worked, you know, in Silicon Valley, you know, have a lot of friends who are also founders, and we were talking about these struggles a lot. And as a founder, you're trying to find not just money, right, but strategic investors who can help you, the right kinds of mentors who are going to help you from day one as you're building so that you're growing responsibly and know what to expect down the road. And that just, you know, helps you be a better founder. And finding the right Fortune 500 clients, you know, you're spending a lot of money trying to attract those potential clients in the early days. and, you know, you're part of a lot of maybe networks or online memberships that are a lot of money. And I just, you know, we would constantly talk about how we were connecting with maybe the wrong people and it was too slow of a process. So our goal was to build this infrastructure so that you had a more actionable community, so that you'll find, you know, as a founder, if you're coming onto our platform, you're very quickly guided after telling us a little bit about who you are and maybe what stage you're at. We'll guide you to the right places on the platform to find those connections with people who are ready to work together, not just kind of posting or sharing for sharing's sake on our platform.
Okay. And so I'm going to ask you to, I'm going to give you the opportunity to brag.
Okay.
A little bit. I'm really interested to hear use case. Cause I mean, to your point, particularly when it comes to investment, like not all money is good money.
Right.
And often investors have, you know, stipulations and they have addendums and they have requirements that aren't necessarily beneficial to the long-term health of an organization. Mm-hmm. So you have to, as a founder, make a very conscious decision. Does this work for my company strategically long-term?
Right.
Though that cash infusion looks really pretty, mm-hmm. it might come with some strings attached that just aren't going to help you in the long run. So give us a use case. Like, talk to us about, you know, an entrepreneur that you have served that mm-hmm. was able to achieve greater heights of success thanks to Bricklayer.
Yeah, and I think I'll even just use a number of the portfolio companies that are in a portfolio with me. So I have a great investor from Pivot North Capital, Tim Connors, and, you know, he invests in a number of, you know, companies each year. We're all pretty close. We work together on the platform and learning, you know, hey, what tools are you using? Who are you talking to for investment? And it's been really interesting to see those founders use the Bricklayer platform and say, hey, we've opened up a Series A round. You know, we're looking for a strategic investor. Again, that's smart money. So we have a number of corporate venture arms that we work with where they're looking to invest in startups in their particular space with a lead investor who knows what they're doing, knows the company very well. And so we've been able to connect a number of startups within our kind of sister portfolio to those corporate venture arms. And, you know, they'll take a board seat generally, but they have a micro VC in that startup's corner telling them, here's what you should be looking out for when taking, you know, money from a corporate. You want to be very careful about the terms that they're, you know, trying to sneak in potentially, or maybe trying to get on the board and get a little bit more control. So we've been really able to work with, you know, kind of being that broker in the middle for the initial intro, and then ongoing work with our investors and folks in the network who are telling them, here are things you should be looking out for. But yeah, we've had a couple of, I won't say the names because, you know, I'm not sure if I should, but the Fortune 500s who've actually invested in the startups, one in particular in health tech. It was an insurance company who invested in a health tech startup for a Series A. And so far it's been a really great partnership on our platform. And again, it was, you know, kind of happening from having the right VC, the right founder, and that right corporate in the right place at the same time.
So you're creating, and I hesitate to use the word because I know it's a buzzword, but you're creating synergy.
Yeah, exactly.
Between very key stakeholders, you know, on an individual basis for entrepreneurs. So I'm going to take it, the question that I'm about to ask is going to take like the 10,000 foot view. You're helping individual entrepreneurs, individual startups, but when you see more market penetration mm-hmm. for Bricklayer, what do you anticipate being the end result kind of at the, you know, macro level, societal level?
Yeah.
Like what is the benefit to what you're doing?
Yeah. So I think if we can, you know, just streamline the process, like I said, and supply that infrastructure for the VC, the enterprise and the founder, that's our goal. So we kind of can call ourselves on the side, like this software assisted matchmaker for mm-hmm. this venture community. So if we can very quickly get to the root of who are you and what are you looking for? So I know a VC, you know, when they're coming in, what are their preferences, you know, for their investments? Not just what you'd write on paper, but maybe a little bit more of what is their working style? Who's already worked with them? What do they say? And the same thing for, you know, these enterprises, if they're putting out an opportunity for a pilot program that a startup can engage in, you know, what exactly are they looking for that may not be listed in, you know, a brief that they share elsewhere when they talk about it. So we kind of sit in the middle, play that software assisted matchmaker, And if at the end of the day, you know, the time that it takes to actually get investment or a potential deal is a lot shorter, and you feel like you are getting into a partnership with a trusted, you know, network member, that's our goal. You know, you shouldn't have to, and this was kind of in my case, you shouldn't have to belong to 50 different tools and Slack communities and LinkedIn groups and, you know, find directories on Crunchbase. All those should be in one place because it's the same people trying to connect on all of those platforms. So if we can just make that a little bit easier, I think it opens up the door, not just for, you know, today we're helping with investment between these groups, the pilot programs, but even mergers and acquisitions as well, where some of these enterprises will come to us and say, you know, potentially we'll invest in a startup in your community, but also who might be ready that, you know, through back channeling, who might be ready for a potential acquisition, and we'll play that matchmaker as well.
That's amazing. And I love that you've created such a holistic, comprehensive kind of tool to speak to that. So you mentioned something that I thought was kind of interesting. And I want to talk, you talked about in my case, that was actually the phrase that you used. Yeah. So let's talk about in your case. I want to dive a little bit into the particulars of your personal experience. And I love founders who are able to apply their own personal lenses to a problem, because I think that's when you come up with the most efficient, effective solutions.
Right.
So talk to us about how your experience has informed how you're building Bricklayer.
Yeah, like I said, kind of in the beginning, I had worked in the trenches, you know, with VCs at early stage startups, with these corporates looking to find VCs and startups to partner with, and just really saw all of them struggle. And I was struggling with my day job to try and find the right partnerships. So I really set, you know, this goal to build my dream tool, right? If I brought all these people that I find very interesting to work with, brought them onto one platform and said, I want the people on our platform to be those who don't just want to talk about innovating, but actually get right to working together. You know, that was the goal. And so when I initially started out, you know, my family's in construction and, you know, from small businesses. And the goal was to build this platform that was sort of building brick by brick, right? Start with a very solid foundation that could accommodate a number of use cases and then just kind of slot them in as necessary. But yeah, so that's sort of where we came from. Like I said, a few years ago, got the initial funding to just initially focus on connecting Fortune 500s to startups, whether it was through pilot programs or venture funding. And we just kind of grew from there. But like in my particular use case, when I was getting funding, I had a great investor. And when we did our first round, it was who was a strategic investor that we could partner with that might not be listed on Crunchbase, right? So we initially started getting some funding from Notre Dame and Stanford as well, knowing that the university ecosystems of investors, startups, and enterprise, you know, alumni, those folks could also use our platform to engage, and we could tap into those communities by getting, you know, some of those strategic universities as investors. But the whole goal is, as I'm building Bricklayer, let me use my own platform to try and find the right people to, for our rounds of funding, for our pilot programs, you know, for our group communication within the portfolio, investor portfolios that I'm in. So I really try and, as they say in like the product world, like eat your own dog food. We're testing our platform every day with use cases that I have. So that's been a, you know, we're kind of case zero for us testing this.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that. So I'm going to ask you to apply, I'm going to ask you to put your advice giver hat on. And so you clearly have a lot of experience with this, but we have some listeners out there who, you know, maybe they haven't opened their first round, you know, they're kind of in bootstrapping, friends and family raise stage. So as founders look to transition to more formalized, you know, raises, venture capital investment, angel investment, you've mentioned strategic investors a couple of times. You kind of touched on, you know, what a good strategic investor looks like, but let's get a little bit more specific and more tactical. Yeah. What are some of the qualities? What are some of the systems? What should founders look for when they are making those first forays into venture capital?
It's interesting. My primary lead investor that I've got, when he talks about evaluating founders, he talks about goodness and grit. And it's funny because I think that's the exact same thing that I look for in an investor. So I want an investor who's not just focused on, you know, the return, which I get it. That's kind of the minimum requirement when making an investment, but who's someone who I know that if I go to with any problem is always going to care, yes, about the company, but also me and what's good in general, like what is the right thing to do in every scenario. And an investor who's with you every step of the way and you can go to and talk about, you know, when things get hard, you know, that's really been important for me. They're in it for the long haul. They're not just in it trying to make a quick buck, which again is, I understand, important, but the investor that I had, I don't know if I would have taken money as early as I did unless I found the right investor. And I was fortunate enough where the one I had chosen, you know, the first investor was someone who I had also worked with in the past. So he was a lead investor at the startup that I was at prior to this one. And I watched him, you know, work with that founder very closely over 4 years, saw their relationship, saw how he worked, you know, with them, kind of how we stood by that company, you know, day in and day out over the years, and just, you know, thought it'd be a great partnership. So that CEO and him are both on my board today. So I have a very strong, you know, mentor and group of advisors who I've worked with, or a group of board members who I've worked with in the past. So know them very well. And, you know, that's how I got to choose them.
Well, that's awesome. And it provides a beautiful segue to the next question that I have for you, because this was actually one of the components of the conversation I was most excited to have with you today. You know, you're talking about folks who are leaders who have been there before, who have an understanding of your industry or an understanding of your product, or even a deep understanding of a function, you know, finance, legal, what have you. So you're talking about a mentor, you're talking about mentorship, somebody who can lead you through processes, you know, either using a lens to past experience, or you just really like prodigious, impressive, you know, business knowledge, acumen.
Yeah.
So let's talk about mentorship. And we talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but huge promoter, cheerleader for mentorship, finding that person or those people that you trust that are smarter than you, that can help guide you. So talk to us about the impact that mentorship has had in your life.
Yeah. So I'll even say the reason I got into startups and tech in general, I didn't really realize that was an industry that I'd ever get into. I'm in college, but then working with, you know, Tech Coast Angels and K5 Ventures down in Orange County, you know, that's where I initially got introduced to a really great group running an incubator out there. And they were great at, when I was interning for them, letting me try a bunch of different things and guiding me along the way and saying, this is what you could turn into a career. We think you're good at it. And that just kind of initially kind of sparked my interest. And maybe I could turn this into a real job. So, you know, that was the initial kind of intro with mentorship in tech. And then when I came up to Silicon Valley and started working with a company called Deliv, and that's where I met Daphne Carmelli, incredible kick-ass female founder, you know, who's phenomenal, that I watched over the years, and the way she would just navigate, you know, all kinds of scenarios through funding and, you know, maybe harder internal issues. It just was really cool to see someone handle that and the way they handled it. You know, I was always watching, and I always kind of joke with her that I was in the sidelines, always watching, you know, what she was doing. And I think it's very nice to have folks that, she wasn't your typical female founder, I guess. And I think that was something that I didn't know if I was. I never could see myself in a founder position until I really saw her do it, because I could see someone like me who was doing it. And so anyway, she kind of took me under her wing, and I made it very clear, you know, at that company, what I wanted long-term. And she was the one who was saying, well, then maybe you should try your hand at this other, you know, try your hand at product or try your hand at logistics, and was very gracious in letting me try those different things within her own company. And so she was kind of giving me the training wheels a little bit about at that company. And then when it came to kind of time for investment with this new idea I had, she actually, you know, kind of helped put together this investment pitch meeting. And that's how everything just kind of moved forward very quickly. So her and that investor, you know, are really just how things got started. But it made a huge impact having a mentor like that. And just, like I said, I never really thought I would be a founder. or never thought really about jumping in and getting investment right away, but she was there coaching every step of the way. And so it was someone who I wanted on my board from day one, just someone who I trusted really well. And, you know, to this day, I know I can go to her with anything. And she's been there before, you know, in the Valley, 20 plus years, multiple companies, you know, she's seen it all. So someone like that in your corner is very helpful.
Yeah, I absolutely agreed. And I am so glad that you were able to find someone who was able to act in that capacity for you. Yeah. You know, we're talking about mentorship. And I do think it, we would do well to mention that, you know, mentors can start early. And one of the ways that mentors are able to effectively support youth is through tools and through learning. So I don't know if you know this, but did you know that when kids drop out of STEM-related activities, it's actually usually due to peer group influence and low self-esteem? Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Well, and so we're talking about, you know, this episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Off Kilter Matilda. They have a great team and they have created all of these STEM esteem, STEM plus self-esteem tools, a series of projects that will help your child love STEM, teach them that science, technology, and math can be fun. So if you are interested to our entrepreneurs in the audience who, you know, want to support your kids in their path to explore STEM-related fields, including entrepreneurship, definitely check out www.offkiltermatilda.com or find the link in our show notes. And we are very grateful to Off Kilter Matilda for their sponsorship and for everything they do to support kids. Okay, we're talking about mentorship, and mentorship is important, so important. Here's a quick. I want to have this conversation with mm-hmm. you. I have had this conversation multiple times before, and I'm going to tell you right now, it is my personal soapbox because I can't tell you how many people I talk to. And I talk to a lot of people. I talk to a lot of women mm-hmm. who have this experience, who I've never had a mentor. I don't know how to find a mentor. I don't know how to ask. And so my personal soapbox is fucking ask.
Yeah. Because, yeah.
You know, you have so many people in your life who have great life experience that you can draw on. And I mean, this could be personally, professionally, what have you, but I always urge the folks that I come into contact with, like, formalize that relationship.
Right.
Ask. I'm sure that you've been asked to be a mentor yeah. multiple times. And let me ask you this. Have you ever been offended if somebody asked you?
Never. It's always an honor when anyone asks for guidance. So it is. People love it when you ask. And again, I've heard it so many times and I don't know where it, you know, stems from, but they always say like, the answer is always no, if you don't ask. And it's definitely true in my case. And it's not even, you know, the woman that I was talking about earlier, Daphne, I've never asked her to be my mentor. I've just started asking her to do mentor-like things. And it just developed, yeah. right? And I think even my biggest advice on that is throw yourself into the environments where you think you're going to find people like you that you get along with or that could be mentors. And it can start to happen naturally. You know, so even at that company that I was at, I was asking her for guidance as I was evaluating what I should do next in my career. And that relationship started to develop and she just became a natural mentor. So throw yourself into the right places. And then, you know, you do have to speak up. I know a lot of people who would talk about wanting to find a mentor at that, you know, company that I was at, and they were looking for a mentor before even starting to test mentors, you know, with certain tasks or questions that would help them determine yeah. if they'd be a good mentor or not. So yeah, always ask whether outright, hey, can you be my mentor? But just start asking them questions and people are always honored to help, even if they barely have the capacity to do it.
Another piece of advice, and I don't actually know if I've ever said this out loud before, but like, you do have to be prepared for a no. I mean, sometimes people don't have the capacity, and mentors tend to be the kind of people who are very accomplished, very high performing, you know? So your answer might be no. But and you can't be afraid of that, but don't be afraid of the ask, because I've
I've had people ask to, you know, to be a formal can you be this formal advisor or formal mentor? And even if I didn't have the bandwidth and I couldn't commit to that, they were still people that I always wanted to help and continue to help, you know? I think even if someone, you know, answered, it may be no, but you know, the right ones will still try and get you support as they can. And they'll always think of you in future kind of scenarios that they can support you.
Or, you know, like I have someone, I consider her to be my mentor. And so I have this really bad habit where I tell people that they're my mentor, like we'll go out to coffee, we'll talk. And I'm like, congratulations, it's a girl, you have a baby. But, you know, they might be able to better serve just by doing something like really tactical and very specific, you know? So maybe this isn't like a relationship where we go have a coffee and talk about everything under the sun, but maybe I reach out to you and say, hey, can you help me with this one very specific issue? I know you're busy. You know, and that's, that's an okay approach to the issue as well, but surround yourself with people who are smarter than you, who have been there before, who are in your corner, who will talk you through things, who will champion you to the larger community. Like, mentorship is so key. Like, I get so fired up talking about it.
And they really do unlock. It's when I used to think of having a mentor, it was always, you know, what kind of, maybe not even emotional support, but strategy support could they help me with? And sometimes even the other mentors that I consider great mentors are just there unlocking doors at every step of the way, right? They've already been through it. They know who the right people are to contact. And so if I keep them updated, and that's just another tip, right? Is keeping those people updated on what you're doing so that they can determine if maybe now is a good time for them to unlock a door.
Can I introduce you to somebody? Can I offer you a piece of advice?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I absolutely love that. Yeah. So one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was also where do you find mentors?
That's a good question. You know, so, and I, like I said, I think being in Silicon Valley and working in the startup world, I found a lot of founders that had been through it before, kind of heard all their war stories. And that's how I helped determine who should be my mentor, right? Seeing how they handled certain use cases. But yeah, I think, like I said, ideally, if you're in a job, you know, and you have a number of folks in that company who can help you internally, you know, you spend a lot of time with your co-employees, or coworkers. So, you know, that's one place to find them. And then I belong to a few networks as well. You know, where even going to events, I'm not someone who's super, you know, social, loving the cocktail hours, but I'll go to some of them. And I do find that they are valuable. And even friends, like I was lucky enough that being in Silicon Valley, there was a lot of the engineers that I would work with where we would go out after work and hang out, and everyone was talking about what they were building, what they were doing. Everyone knows someone else who they can introduce you to. So it just happened through a lot of friends up in Silicon Valley. But that was part of, I knew I liked working with people, hanging out with people who wanted to build stuff. And it just was organic across the right folks.
So you talked about a couple of different things, and I'm going to go a little bit rogue on you, and I apologize in advance, but here it comes. You know, you talked about, you know, different communities and events and, you know, a lot of different tools and things that you can do to find a mentor, but really what we're talking about and what you are building and what we are talking about in the general sense is ecosystem development. And so I think that ecosystem development is a field and an area that doesn't get enough love. You know, how do you build cohesive communities that have a broader lens to benefit as many people as possible through connectivity, through knowledge, share through people. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about your ecosystem. You have one with Bricklayer where you're connecting like disparate stakeholder groups and trying to find those like synergies and efficiencies, which is really cool. And then you belong to a larger community ecosystem, the entrepreneurial ecosystem. And it sounds like you've belonged to several. So I'd like to hear your thoughts around ecosystem development and how you can, to the episode title, which is Build a Strategic Ecosystem, like how can you logistically effectively, efficiently build a strong ecosystem.
Yeah, and I think part of this might encourage, I forgot again who told me, I get a lot of advice throughout the years, but someone was saying a while back, like build your own personal board of folks who, you know, can support you and help you along your career. And the people on my board are, I guess, from very different ecosystems, but they all have value in sort of this holistic approach to my career and development and interests. And so, like I said, I am lucky enough that the folks that I build, even in my like religious spiritual community or within my family and friends, you know, I have stakeholders who I go to for all kinds of advice and even, you know, again, those potential intros that could support me both personally or professionally. But it's, I also find that by having multiple ecosystems, it makes me much more creative when I'm bouncing back between them. So there's a lot of women in tech, women in product communities that I'm in. And, you know, definitely great to get inspired, but then go maybe sometimes to a different ecosystem to try and apply what I've learned there and help others. So yeah, it's really important, I think, to jump into a few ecosystems and like kind of test the waters, find the right ones that work for you, find the right people within those ecosystems that can support you. And then even, you know, like I said, building Bricklayer is a personal tool for me to manage multiple ecosystems. So over time, you know, our platform is adding the multiple networks that I'm in onto one platform so that I, with wearing one hat, you know, can post to multiple ecosystems that I'm in on Bricklayer. So that's a whole other, you know, feature and stuff that's coming over really the next quarter or two. It should be very exciting. Yeah. So it's again that. Yeah, where you should have, you know, even though we're this ecosystem within the venture community, you should have other ecosystems that you're in if they use the same infrastructure or framework. You can have it in one place.
What lens did you apply and how did you do that?
Yeah, I'll say even when I first got started, you know, in Silicon Valley, I was really focused on just finding what am I doing in my day job or what do I find interesting? And finding the right kind of cute communities or meetups, locally. So that's how I got involved in a number of, product communities where I was learning what other founders and investors, you know, who were, that was their hobby too. It wasn't just their day job. So I got to talk to a lot of folks who were interested in that. Got very involved in a number of like girl geek dinners, women in tech community. Like I said, there's some that are formalized. And then also just getting to know, like I said, I'm in a particular investor's portfolio and getting to know the other startups within the portfolio to just call every once in a while and say, hey, are you experiencing this too? You know, what's going on with you? And being able to not put on the kind of founder lens and just get more personal for a second has been super helpful because we all know each other as founders and what we're saying at these events. But then you can jump on a call and have the more human conversation of like what's going on. Yeah. And there's even like these communities that go along with podcasts and stuff around just startup therapy and talking to other founders of just like what what you're going through that's a bit more personal. All those communities have really helped. And I find that in certain seasons, I'll lean on some of them a bit more, but all are very valuable.
I want to follow it. So you said, I don't know how I'm going to ask you. Okay, I got it. I know how I'm going to ask this question. Okay, so you mentioned how operating within one ecosystem and then going to another, you have been able to apply a different lens. That's essentially what you said. Mm-hmm. And I find that so interesting because I think, you know, today, like in today's society, like we talk so often about things like inclusion, why having diverse teams is a benefit to your organization because you're approaching things through different lenses and you're applying different knowledge bases that start from very different perspectives to a problem. And anytime you have like two heads are better than one, five heads are better than two, you get to a point where that can get a little onerous. But for the most part, like when you have multiple people looking at a problem, it helps you solve it better. Right. And so I want to talk to you a little bit because I think it's really interesting how cognizant and conscious you are of that piece of benefit. So talk to us about, you know, a time or, you know, maybe it didn't happen to you, but maybe you saw your work within one ecosystem able to benefit the lens that you applied to another?
Yeah. So even just maybe I'll give a couple use cases, but you know, there are a number of, Notre Dame is an investor, you know, one of their ecosystem communities. And they're often looking at how can they apply what we're doing to the university ecosystem of entrepreneurship, the same holistic view that we offer, you know, how can they apply that to their entrepreneur centers to give the student founders more value, you know, instead of just tuition and classes, how can they also set you up for funding and clients upon graduation? So those have been really interesting conversations to apply what we built to the university ecosystem. But then also there's a few organizations, even like Catholic Charities, SF, and, you know, these Catholic communities where they're trying to figure out how to improve within their own churches. How can they apply the Silicon Valley approach to innovation to make their like churches and regional, you know, dioceses more efficient? So they're looking to have the same solution or same framework for identifying a problem, you know, finding the right coach or, you know, mentor who can help you, whether it's financially or strategically, and then actually applying interesting tech to solve those problems. So it's been interesting to see our framework of BrickLayer actually get applied to these, some of these religious communities who are trying to apply a Silicon Valley approach, which might seem like two completely different ecosystems and problems. But are very similar in Amazing. Terms of, you know, what they can actually, so the framework they can use and maybe even the same tools or software to support.
Like, hey, you know, cultivate multiple ecosystems because it's going to do well for you. So I'm going to ask, I'm going to pivot a little bit again. And I want to ask you, you know, what's next for you, Ireland, for BrickLayer, for, you know, the ecosystems in which you operate? Like what are you looking at?
Yeah. It's been really interesting, even over the last, since, you know, COVID hit and the last year, everyone's gone remote. We started getting involved in a number of global ecosystems as well. So there's like Global Tech Advocates, huge community, many regional chapters where they're looking for infrastructure to support their, you know, cross collaboration between those regional communities. So they're coming on BrickLayer, and that's just opened up so many conversations and how BrickLayer can apply that same Silicon Valley framework of how to partner with the right, you know, founders, investors, enterprise clients, bringing that infrastructure to these communities, whether it's in London or, you know, South Africa. And we've had these really great conversations. And for me, it's just, you know, I got my passport right before COVID hit, my first passport. So never been out of the country, but now we're having all these calls with people all over the world who can use BrickLayer. So that's just been incredibly exciting. And knowing that when things open back up, you know, we are going to be able to have some of those in-person events, you know, with the people using our product, which is not only exciting for me professionally and kind of where we're going next, but just personally actually getting to see, you know, other places and how they're using the same
model. You're blowing me away. Like, I need to have a conversation because I'm just like, look at this awesome woman. She's doing such cool stuff. And that has been borne out for sure. So I'm going to, you opened the door. Wait, perfect.
Awesome.
Human question. Are you ready? Okay. So you said you got your passport and you know, when travel opens back up fully,
I'm ready.
And, you know, the world is ready. Where are you most looking forward to visiting? I almost feel like it's cliche, but I'm like, okay,
Ireland, because that is my name, but I would really like to. I feel like I have to. I owe it to Ireland to visit, but we have a number of partners in London.
That's amazing.
As well.
Like I just
really
for
like
you,
them,
you,
but
you can't
would
see
like
at
to
home,
do
but
some
just
sort
did,
of
like,
safari
a
trip.
Or
in
that's
Africa,
amazing.
So that's sort of the
how
goal.
Cool. Awesome. Well, Ireland, I can't tell you how much I have enjoyed our chat.
Yeah, it'd be very exciting.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. You know, you've got a lot going on. You are doing it so well. So just keep on going. But thank you.
I do.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it, you know, we would be remiss, of course, if we did not mention and
thank you so much for having me on.
Our episode sponsor. Once again, today's episode of Startup Hustle was sponsored by Off Kilter Matilda. They are making it easy for parents and teachers to not only engage in STEM, but help kids relearn to love learning. And we love it when kids love learning. Be sure to check out all the free resources they have available to you on their website, offkiltamatilda.com. That's offkiltamatilda.com. And a huge thank you to Startup Hustle. Be sure to check us out on Instagram, YouTube. Check out Startup Hustle TV, which we are super excited about. I think we actually have an episode up on mentorship. It's one of my fave episodes. So keep us in mind, and we will catch you next time. Thanks for listening.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.